Volba brings in the Hakdama, the beginning of Chelik Beis, so he has a small section called Darkeinu Bevisus HaAnyanim, explaining the approach how we use to explain this Sefer Shavuot. So there's people like me who actually read those things. He brings over here from the Maral. Maral says the following. He says we divide up all of Shas, let's say, between two sections. There's Shmaitza, Hilchasa, and then there's Agadatha. So he discusses how do you know if something is Hilchasa or Agadatha. He says if the Rif quotes it, it's Hilchasa. If the Rif doesn't quote it, it's Agadatha. So there are things which we would assume are Agadatha. The fact the Rif quotes it indicates that it's Hilchasa. Okay, now he points out that you learn Hilchasa and Agadatha differently. He quotes the Maral. The Maral says that the correct approach to learn Hilchasa is Derek Shachla Batarya. You have a conversation. He has a kasha from Gemara here. You say, well, the chiluk like this. The person that can't be because that doesn't fit over here. You go back and forth. You, in a chavrusah setting or yourself, till you clarify the point, looking at all of the relevant gemaras back and forth, be mechalik, till you finally get a clear understanding of what this is about. And he says that the way you learn a gadata is not like that. Ad kan marah. And that's why the more says that, that's why Chazal say, "Mashiva al gadata." You can't ask any questions. Because the way you learn it is not through questions. Okay. So now that we know what it's not, what is it? Yes. So he says, well, the two mahalchim, how to understand a gadatha. This one mahalch is based on Kabbalah, al pi soid. And soid is a source to understand a gadatha. Says we're not going to use that mahalch in the Sefer. But then there's another mahalch. So he says over from the Alta from Kelim. Alta Kelim said, he says it in Hebrew, I'm guessing pretty much that Alta Kelim probably said it in Yiddish. So he says that the Maamar Chazal is a Zovi Ashteren, it's like a star, and Musar is the telescope which allows you to see the star. Okay. So what does he mean? So I'll tell you, one time I was learning a piece from the Bali Musar. It's not limited to him, but I happened to think this thought process through when I was learning this point. I was learning a piece in Aryeh Cheskel. We quote a Chazal, and he says that the point of Chazal teaching us a Yisoid in Balgaiva, the Midas of Gaiva. I remember thinking to myself that I don't see that Smukhrot that he's talking about Gaiva. I can understand it talking about other things besides Gaiva. So how did the Rechatskel, why is he assuming and how did he know that the point over here is Gaiva? Then it hit me like this. Imagine a person spent years working on Gaiva. He worked on himself, he uprooted his Midas of Gaiva, he learned to understand what is Gaiva, what's not Gaiva, what are the challenges of Gaiva, how you overcome Gaiva. He mamash spent a large part of Avodas HaMusar working on that inyan. All of a sudden, he comes to this Maamar Chazal, and the Chazal mamash talks to him. And the Chazal are clearly sending a message about Gaiva to him. Comes along a person who's never worked on Gaiva and says, "Hey, Chatesi, I can learn this Chazal is talking about something else, and I have a Raif from a Gemara over here, and I have a Kashim over here, and I have a Pirch over here, and this over here." The guy says, "Like, you know, I'm going to prove to you it's daytime. And I have Raya's, and Kashas, and Gomorrah's, and Child. It's Raya's daytime." But the mice, it's not daytime. It's nighttime. This Chazal, it's not Gaiva. Right? If you have the telescope, you look at the star. It's a star. I'm not clear. It's a star, really. It's a plane. You know, like, I look at the telescope. I tell you it's a star. You don't see a star because you don't have light. You don't have the glasses to see the star. You don't have the telescope. There's also the thing of understanding something in Torah without Harvanya. Nothing in Torah, to really understand it, is not Shaykh without Harvanya. The Oifin of Harvanya in Limud Hilchasa is in the Sugya. You learn the sugya, you learn it once, you learn it twice, you start asking questions, you try to understanding it, you have a kasha here, you have a kasha there, you have a kasha from all the Gemaras, you say a mahalach, you shlug it up, you bring rayas, you work through the sugya. The Ofer is setting a gadata is also with hervanya. But the hervanya is in the mensch, not in the Maimar Chazal. And when you, the mensch, are oisgarbit, and you, the hervanya is there, you'll understand the Chazal. And if not, you're not going to understand the Chazal. So I said this over, I don't know how many years I said this over once, somebody asked me, like, Rav Aaron, Friday morning cheer, it's kashas and terutzim and rayas, it's mamash. He says, you don't get it. That's not how Rav Aaron prepares the shmuz. Rav Aaron starts with a yesod which speaks to him. And as it speaks to him, he sees a place where taka fits, that's what Chazal is talking about. Then he thinks backwards, and now that that's true, I understand some of the points about Chazal as well. And then he presents it to you, not backwards, but forwards. Okay, well, I have questions A, B, C, D. But that's not how you prepare it. That's how you present it. But the way you prepare it is by, in the mensch, by understanding a yesod, understanding a concept, and seeing how that's what Chazal were talking about. And now it gives you greater insight into that point. So I said over the following. And I heard this machshava from Reb Rev, the Zichron Lebracha. We have Laftara, Parshas Vayera, the story of the Shanamis. So let's expand the story of the Shanamis a little bit. So Elisha comes to the city of Shunem, and there's a woman over there, Isa Shunamis, who arranged that she was a tzedekis, and he felt comfortable going there, and she arranged a special place for him to stay, and she gave him all of his needs. And he felt a curse of toiv. He wanted to give something back to her. So he asks her, what do you need? She says, I'm fine. Now, Chazal say that this Isha Shunamis was the sister of Isaac Shunamis. You learn Malachim, you get him Malachim, it's Zabar Melech. He's getting old, and he can't hold body heat anymore, because one time he was misused the begotten of Shalom Melech, so therefore he was punished. The begotten were not warm anymore. So they found an Isha Sechenis to warm him, Avishag. So this Isha Shunamis, Chazal say, was the sister of Ishag Shunamis. Now there's a 300 year gap between the two of them. So this woman was, you know, she was at least 250, 300 years old. Right? The Pasuk says that Gehazi says to, so Elisha says to Gehazi, is there anything I can do for her? She says, you know, she has no children and her husband's old. So I don't know, she's 300, he was like 400, I don't know, okay. So the nice old couple over here, they have no children. So Elisha davens that she should have a child. They have a child. Child grows up, goes out to the kotzim, and he has this headache, and he dies. And she decides that she's going to go to Elisha to complain. She goes to Elisha, she complains, I didn't ask for a child, you gave me the child, now to lose that child, you can't do this to me. So Elisha sends Gehazi to do Tchias HaMesim, and Gehazi didn't listen. Fine, Elisha comes. He goes up to, he sees the child over there, and he accomplishes Tchias HaMesim. There's a woman, she's 300 years old. She finally has a child. The child dies. She's zoichet to have Tchias HaMesim, her child comes back to life. Elisha calls Gehazi and says, call the Shunami Salah. Go call her in. She comes upstairs. It's an Aliyah Kirkatani. She comes upstairs and she sees that her child is alive. Okay. So what's the Pasuk say she does? She goes in, she's Mishtachabet to Elisha, she takes her child and she leaves. The Rebbe of Zohar is, what would we do? You go to the child and you smother him with kisses and you hug him and you hold him tight for 5-10 minutes and you say, oh, thank you, Rabbi, so much, thank you so much, and you walk out. Pasuk doesn't say that. Pasuk says she went in, she bows to Elisha, and she says thank you, and then she goes to her child and she takes her child. So, without any saying Shekhar Torah, what is the Pasuk telling me? You understand what it means, Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov was so important to her. It was so ingrained in her. It was so innate in her that the first thing you do is you say thank you before you go to your child. You've now been there after 300 years of life that you lost and he died and now the schizam ace him. And first you say thank you before you go to your child. That's what Hakaras HaTov is. That's what he said. Now, I've learned that pasuk before. I've learned the haftarah before. You know, both at my seat, both over here, and I never had that haftarah. You don't have to say a shekel tara alum. This, but the state and pasuk. I mean, it's the mamash, the state and pasuk. Like an awesome yisrael, the state and pasuk. How come I didn't see it? How come he saw it? So I was listening to a different shmooze from him a different time. He talks about Hakaras HaTov. He talks about, I don't remember exact details of the Maisa, that one time his mother asked him to go and take care of something for this some yid. And being a teenage young man, he wasn't necessarily so enamored of the idea. So he's at home. He said, why? And why? He says, that yid, Zayda, did a Toiva for our Zayda, and we have to have a curse of Toiva to him, so you have to go help him. So he, you know, that's that. This Yid Zayda helped our Zayda. Right? A curse of Toiva. I, the teenager, have to step off my chair, bed, couch, right, to go help this person because his Zayda helped my Zayda. So he made a comment that he's not doesn't really see the need for that. She said, "Dubish nishken yid. Yid have to curse the type. You're not my son anymore. I don't have anything to do with you. But that's your attitude. You're not my son." She says, "Yid has a curse the type. My son has a curse the type. Oizum." That's what he says. If that's how you're trained, what a curse the type means, you'll see that in the pasuk. If you're not, Pasuk doesn't speak to you. You don't see it. It doesn't jump off the page and scream at you. Because you're not, you didn't arbit on the void of a Hakaras HaTov. So Musar is, the avoidance of Musar is the telescope, which allows you to see it. When I'm looking at the telescope, I see the craters. There's no craters on the moon. I'm telling you, there's no crater. I don't see any craters on the moon. Well, look at the telescope. You see craters. But I don't see any craters. Must be, it's not true. I'm telling you, those black things are really something else. You know, that's the Shkin Shaka Matarya. I'm telling you, this Chazal is talking about whatever. This positive, whatever. You know, you work on the meter, you'll see what it's talking about. One of the things that I learned is the Talmud. We were talking about this recently a little bit with somebody. That part of Shemesh Tzvina Chachamim is to see the godless of a Talmud Chacham up close and really see what they're like. It's also part of Shemesh Tzvina Chacham is allowed to us to see them as human beings. They're not infallible. They're not perfect. And they still were Gedolim. Still were Tzvina Chachamim. When you see a person from a distance, it becomes very black and white. A person's tamachachom tzaddik. He blew one time. Ois tamachachom ois tzaddik. Ois gadol. You know, it's all or nothing proposition. You get to know a person intimately. You realize there's tremendous godless there, and he's not perfect. And he has ups and he has downs, and he has the kishlanes, and he has challenges. And sometimes he's successful. Sometimes he's not successful. That doesn't take away from the godless of the person. So why am I telling you all of this? I'm still stuck on last week's shmooze. I got a phone call Thursday, Friday. Somebody spoke about what happened in Pittsburgh. And he said that this person calls me that he heard somebody speak about it, you know, spoke about what happens, the people it happened to, they deserve it should happen to them because of their avarice, etc., etc., etc. So the person who's calling me, it's the reason why he's calling me, right? And they didn't call Rabbi X. Because he says, am I like off my rocker? That doesn't make any sense. I said, no, I don't think so. I think you're right. He says, so how can I respect this person anymore? Supposedly he's a Talmud Chacham. Supposedly he's a very chashuv person. I can't respect him anymore. So I said to him, you know, listen, there are poskim who are poskim in the Kultur Kula. You look at these swarm they have from the modern swarm in halacha. So they're very, a lot of them are very, very specific. You know, there's Hilchos Moida'ani Kilchosa, you know, like something like that. You know, like, you know, it's 300 pages about how to say Moida'ani. You know, it's very, very specific type of thing. The back of all of these swarm, like the 500 page sefer, they have the questions they ask Rishon Zalman, they ask Rabbi Yashiv, etc. So it means this person spent 2 or 3 years working on Erev Tavshilin. He wrote every, he worked, he knows everything about Erev Tavshilin. He goes to Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Yashiv answered all of his questions about Erev Tavshilin. Okay, good. The next person has a Shulach HaKain. Rabbi Yashiv has all those questions also. And then you have to realize, after like, you know, like about 50 of those swarm, Rabbi Yashiv was a bucky, more of a bucky in all of those things than any of these people were, who just spent 3 years working on it. Okay, you know. But there's quite fine poskim which can't do that. You know that you can ask him Chasham Mishpashayim, you can ask him Eben Ezra, you're a day, but maybe Eben Ezra, like, you know, they're not paskening agunas. Okay. He's this area, he doesn't need other expertise. Right. Agunas, it says, that, you know, only the Gdalei Ador should pass in Agunas Shabbos. Okay. He's not. Oh, he's Talmud Chacham. Oh, he's Talmud Chacham. That's a mixture that he didn't master yet. So, you know what? The mixture of Musar is also mixture. This person didn't master that mixture yet. One day, Bezrim, he will. It means that area he doesn't have yet. So the person said, but this is so basic, it's so elementary, that you can't say he's a Talmud Chacham, he hasn't mastered Musar. Like, that doesn't make sense to him. I said, he's a Talmud Chacham and he hasn't mastered Eben Ezra yet. I get that, you know. Right? He's a Talmud Chacham and he hasn't mastered Aleph Beis yet. It's something funny in that sentence, you know. Nowadays you can learn a lot of things in English. You know, you don't have to really know Alabay, so you can be a Bucky and Kultur Kula with not knowing Hebrew. No. Segeit nisht. You know, you got to learn it in the original, you know, for some strange reason, right? Learning it in English just doesn't do it, right? So you're learning Chumash, right? You're learning Chumash, and the Chumash is not teaching you the Yesedus is supposed to be teaching you. You're not copying what a Karsa Toiv is. You're not copying what Chesed is. You're not copying... So I said, no, I don't think that your sushtel to Aleph Beis is not a sushtel. Rav Dessler has a ha'orah. Now, I can't say this because Meister Chazal said not like me, but to me it's still it's strong nekuda. Talked about the Avodas HaChesed of Avraham Avinu. I don't. You know, again, I'm going to say it just for the shock effect. Even though, and because I'll say I'm wrong. So, if you ask me, which one of the 10 Nisyonos is the greatest Nisyon for Avraham Avinu? The moment of Avraham Avinu's greatest godless, it was davening for a star. You have a clarity of Emunah in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you understand that you need to bring the world to recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you're working person by person to bring them to Akara, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that you feel is your mission in life. And there's a corresponding team working against you. And finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy them and get rid of them. And now you can mamash, spread the moon of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the whole Bria. Nobody's going to stop you. This is it. You can go from having 10,000 followers to having 10 million followers. You can spread it over the whole civilized world. The only thing stopping you is these group of people, and I'm going to destroy them because they're horrible people and they deserve to be destroyed. I say, Baruch Hashem, let's make a party. He says, Baruch Shalom, Chas Shalom, please save them. So Rudessa writes this question. He says, it's more of a Chil Hashem. These people are Chil Hashem. So you're davening for Chil Hashem. The Baruch Shalom should push to keep people which are being Mecharef and Megadef. You're there, Rebbe, Miskab, and Limer, Rebbe. Constantly, you're davening that you continue to exist. So Baruch Shalom says, hey, excuse me. I said that these people push at their mamash, they're bezoyant to my name, they're bezoyant to the world, they're bezoyant to me, they spit in my face every single day. You're saying, Rebbe Hashem, please keep them. What's your problem, Avram? You should say, Chasdei Hashem. Bavod Rishon Rina, I'll begin your posting even. Posting Mishlei, Bavod Rishon Rina. You're supposed to be mamash Rina, not Simcha, but Rina. Avram Rina says, Chas V'Sholem. Right? It's Chalila, I saw it could have said, it's Chulin Hulakah, right? Like, wow. What's the pshat? And Chazal say he was mamash, he was Madaber Kosher against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. To do chesed to the people who don't deserve chesed is the biggest challenge. So doing a chesed, schlepping a rav into your house, that's a madrega, right? Giving them to a loshen, each one got their own behemoth shechted for them. That's, you know, it's pretty, you know, it was a desert, right? It was chamer yarn. So what happened to the rest of the meat? It rotted. So you took a gatz of behemoth to give a person his own tongue. You ever saw the size of a tongue? From a it's like, it's a gatz fine. Like, you know, you can feed two people on a tongue. Each has to get their own tongue. And throw the rest of the meat? Psh! Chesed! No. That's madrega. That you should daven for the person who's your arch enemy. And arch enemy of everything that you believe and you stand for. And you see your life's mission, and he's the guy in the way. Because your life's mission is chesed. And there's no greater chesed than the chesed of a person who doesn't deserve chesed. I, the Chil Hashem, so that's what says, not a Chil Hashem. Because it's so much drink, it's like a Chil Hashem. But deep, teef, what is it saying? That the Bershom is such a Baal Chesed, you can do a Chesed even to these people. The Bershom is limitless. He's limitless. So there's a Morris in Hedron. It doesn't report Morris in Hedron, but there's a Morris in Hedron. The Morris says a story with Menashe. Menashe was not, you know, was Menashe Melech. The Morris says, don't chaper Menashe Melech, because the Morris says a story with the Rashi, chaper the Menashe Melech. He came to the dream. I'm not chapering Menashe Melech. He's not going to come to me in a dream. I'm not even worthy of his notice. Okay? Not worried about it. All right? The Morris says, Menashe Melech was over about Azor. He killed Yeshaya Navi, his Eidah. He killed the Gadol Ador, the Navi Ador. He killed him. Okay. The Morris says that he took every single Sefer Torah in Eretz Yisrael and cut out every name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Hashem, in every Sefer Torah, and replaced it with the name of Avodah Zarah. That's dedication. You know, that's like, and that's not a 10:15 to 11:40 for Seder. That's the call, you know, day and night. He's mustered to every single Sefer Torah in Eretz Yisrael. The Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, they hid, they shouldn't get his hands on it, and that's the same way the Yoshiyahu HaMelech finds that Iran opened up to the Teichach. The Gezeres HaKurban was because of Menashe. After 22 years, Melech Bavel comes and takes him up to Bavel, and he sticks him into a iron pot. And he lights the fire underneath him. So he calls out to every single Getchka in the world, save me, and none of them save him. Finally, he says, you know, I remember when I was a little kid, I learned in Cheder, B'tzar L'cha M'sucha, Davin L'Kadosh Baruch, the Rosh answers you. Like after all of Avodah Zarah. So, the Malachim in Shemayim were not very happy with this chutzpah of him. So they shut all the windows in Shemayim that his tefillah should not come in. Comes from Menashe. Menashe says, "Rebbe Shlomo, if you don't answer me, you're the same as all the Avodah Zarahs. Kalap and Shavin. You're just like them." And Rashi makes a chetira, tachas kisya covered, except his tefillah, sends a wind, pulls him out of the pot, from Babel back there to Israel, and he's developed for another 33 years. A chutz with a tefillah? What's he saying? He's saying, Rabbi Hashem, if you are limited, that you can't do chesed to one who doesn't deserve it, so you're like an avodah zarah, you're big avodah zarah, you're limited. All avodah zarahs are limited. Bigger, smaller, you're also limited. If you're truly a Kadosh Baruch Hu, ain't soif, there's no limit to your chesed. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi says you can do chesed even to Steinmix. Now, did the Rambam like Steinmix? Did he like these people? He stood against them. They're my enemies. I hate them. And I'll save them. Because the human beings, I have to save them. A human being can have multiple emotions, they're both valid. The Mor says, we mentioned the Mor in Tainus, the Mor says that the Kiva was rock, sochak ubacha. This woman comes in, her goal is to seduce him, to be machshel on aveira, and mele, damage Klal Yisrael. His first response is rock, mias. All this physical stuff comes from the tipas rucha, that's mias. Eventually she's going to become a Giyaris and marry him. Ubacha, he cries about the beauty which is going to eventually end up in the dirt. He's rock because it's me, it's disgusting, and he's bacha because this beauty is going to end up in the... Like, what does that mean? So Talzer Rav says, a human being can have multiple emotions at the same time. And they're both enemies. That's godless Adam. So somebody else came and asked me, says, you know, Rebbe, I feel bad for the loss of life. But these people are undermining my Yiddishkeit. These people belong to a group which not just that they that they're if what they're saying is true, what they're pushing is true, what they're trying to accomplish is true, it's going to hurt my Yiddishkeit. So I don't feel brotherly love to them. I feel bad for the loss of life. I said, good. I'll tell you, Maisa, you know, I'm about Shuvah. Maybe it's because I'm about Shuvah. Person that Bacher here learns from the high school years and years back, came a chassam, Baruch Hashem, Baal Tshuva. His parents came for Shabbos. So, son became a chassam, give the father a hug, hug him a kiss. Somebody told me, I can't kiss a hug him. He says, why? He's a mechallel Shabbos. I can't hug him a mechallel Shabbos. I just can't do it. I feel happy for him and I feel simcha for him. I just can't hug him a mechallel Shabbos. Now, this person. It's from a family who had Mesiras Nefesh for Shemir Shabbos in America in the early 1900s. And they lost job after job after job. And it was Angeflanz and that Mishpacha, Shemir Shabbos. I'm so happy for him. I can't do it. I cannot do it. So maybe I'm lacking sensitivity. I said to myself, I don't know. I was very comfortably hugged the person. I'm happy for him. I had such a simcha, Baruch Hashem, son of a chasen. Maybe both are supposed to be true. You know, I'm supposed to hug him, but I also feel like I have no time as a person. He's a Tinnish and Ishmael. I'll think, but the mice said, this person has taken the crown of a Kaddish Baruch Hu and trampled on it. So he came in Ishtam. So are you gonna build Yiddishkeit by screaming Shabbos, Shabbos by the court and throwing stones? No. Because first of all, the stones are mukhs, it's also the stones. But okay, that's besides the point. The yachad the stones, it doesn't work. Yichud stone doesn't work. It's clear. Sifkin shochan aruch. You have to mice. You have to paint them before Shabbos, right? Because it's a valid yichud. Shabbos is supposed to hurt us. We see chilul Shabbos is supposed to hurt, and we're supposed to have the madrega that even so we can still feel the pain of the other person and love them anyway. That's a ramavino. That's godless to all of them. You know, I'm not there yet. So now what? So what happens? So some people veer this way, some people veer that way. Am I any better than him? We both have challenges. Learning the Musha to making us the Adam Gadol, which we're allowed to be able to have that balance properly, to have both valid emotion and both true perspectives at the same time, that's an avoid of a lifetime. That a person is taking something which the Torah says is a Toeva and practicing it Beresh Galei and making it something which is celebrated in a shul is a painful thing. That person should be gunned down because he's a Jew is a painful thing also. I should have both emotions. That person died a violent death, Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's a kapora, he should be zeichet to have a kapora. Okay, Bezat Hashem. I told you the Maaseh from the Altar of Kalam last week that he was in pain for the death of Peretz Smolensky, one of the most rabid anti-Torah individuals of his generation. Didn't mean that the Altar of Kalam didn't stand up against him and fought against him and did what he had to do to say that he's wrong, and he had tremendous pain about the covenant of Torah. He also had tremendous pain for the neshama at the same time. That's the ultimate talent. He's an oiska halter men. She was able to. He was oiska arbit to men. She was able to do it. To have both elements. It's an avoid of a lifetime. So you know, I tend more towards the vecha side. Okay, so I'm a sweet guy. I like hugging people. This guy is a stronger. He tends more towards the starker guy taking positions. Okay, so I'm better than him. Felt like a Moser. He's came to Tamu Chacham. He's always Tamu Chacham. Always connect. Title taken off. Rip it off the label. Last week's label. The label, right? I voted today. Right? Your vote. Right? Your vote. Okay. Right? Always Tamu Chacham. Because he's not sensitive to somebody's pain. It's an issue. It's an issue. Maybe I'm always Tamu Chacham because I'm not sensitive to the pain of the Torah and to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know. I'm not judging somebody. That's for sure not. But what's the answer? Both are true. How do you do that? Go to Kasha. A human being can do that. How do I do that personally? You work on it. How do you work on it? What is a Muslim? How can you learn the Torah? And the Torah is going to give you that message that this clearly is how you're supposed to look at something. And you have that clarity of what is a Muslim. Not just learning Muslim, but working on yourself. And then you'll see clearly that there's these tremendous messages over here. And yes, and some of them are going to be a stira. And running a little bit late, I'll tell you then. You know, I have my favorite story about the color war syndrome, but I'm not going to get involved in that. But at least what Rebbe Aaron told me, give all the Gemaisa, that there was a fellow there in the mirror. When he was in the mirror, this fellow was a procrastinator. Clear, procrastinator. And, you know, it would take it such a long time to make up his mind and deliberate. So, he goes to Chaim Shlomo to give the shmuz about Pachas Kamayimal Toser. It's important to be deliberate, don't just run into things. And you have to, shouldn't just jump and make decisions. He says, Chaim said I'm right. He said you should be deliberate. If you want to find a validation for your mahalach, because that's what you're naturally inclined to, you can find a validation for whatever you want in the Torah. Because that's what you're naturally inclined to. Beautiful. That's very nice. That's not Torah. That's getting a rubber stamp on your back that you're wonderful. Chusharim used to go to the Kotzker, and the Kotzker would give him shtarka musar. One time, the Kotzker was so. Overwhelmed with Chusharim, he gave him a hug. The Rim said, I'm not never coming back. He says, I don't need a Rebbe gives me hugs. Any Rebbe gives me Musar and gives me Patras. You know what? We need Rebbe that gives us hugs also. But once in a while, you should get a Patras. Okay, that's very good.